just another solid day in California. It's just the way that I was raised in California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living grid locked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies.
Welcome to this half-rusty edition of the Fansmanship.com podcast. It is a half-rusty and half-healthy edition. I'm Owen Main, and along with Kenny Stevenson. Kenny.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm not the half. I'm not the unhealthy one. I am the unhealthy one. Half-healthy.
You know, yeah. Just full disclosure, we taped a podcast last week, and then right around Thursday or so, we taped on like Wednesday, maybe even Tuesday.
We did.
We were like
super ready for last
man. Thursday. And I got the predictions even from from our guest predictor, and then right around Thursday, I started feeling like pretty hot garbage, and then it deteriorated all the way through. To the point that on Saturday, when I had three events that I was going to get paid to take pictures of, people were counting on me to take pictures of, and I basically slept all day. I kept up with the football game a little bit, although I got to admit, the first couple defensive drives, I was, I was like, oh man, and kind of like it was in and out of consciousness, I think. I can't really describe it any other way. but then like I looked at towards the end and it was close. And I was watching real time on the little like ticker thing, whatever the stat cast thing, what was happening. Uh-huh. And it was, it was very exciting at the end. Cal Poly, like a lot of games this year, put up a decent game against a decent team and didn't come out on the top end of it. And maybe that's just kind of the story of the season this year.
Yeah, well, for someone like myself who watched the game, I remember I texted you after the first quarter, which we were down 14-0, and didn't really even look like competitive,
right?
We looked very typical to how this is kind of a broken record as to how we've looked all season, is that it's we just don't come out, we don't show up well, we just don't.
Yeah.
And I remember texting you
the Davis game.
Yeesh, that was rough.
Yeah.
The Davis game, the Montana State game, like we just go down.
I mean, the Montana State game was okay, but the Davis game, it was kind of reminiscent of early.
Yeah, and then they were all the way in it, and then even like, so this is what I want to talk about to start things off. So Cal Poly fights their way back into the game. They get the ball back with not a lot of time left. They score a touchdown.
Yep.
And then Tim Walsh decides to go for two. Decides to go for the win with like less than 30 seconds left on the clock. So it's like whatever happens here, it's the game. And he decides to go for two, and they don't get the two-point conversion. And not only do they not get it, but it's, like, not even close. He tries to just, like, run it up the middle. I'm always of...
Yeah.
Get it out.
Go ahead.
Get
Sorry. Sorry, I need a cough
button.
It's
okay. I know. I'm always of the mindset of, like, if you're going to go for two, this is just me. I am not a football coach. We have a whole segment of this show in which I try to explain football because I don't get football.
Right.
But it seems to me that when you go for two, just handing the ball to run up the middle is like the last thing you should do.
Right.
Like, it's like you should try a little something unexpected because you're going for 2 points instead of, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, and so I don't know, like, it's one of those where it's like if they had gotten the 2 points and won the game, it would have been like, wow, what a brave play call by Tim Walsh. Like, wow, that was really. But like the fact that they didn't hit it, it makes you think like, okay, like, let's put it this way, Do you think that Tim Walsh's job is safe after this weekend?
I'm not going to get into that, to be honest, in terms of like job stuff. That there's people who are paid to do that job specifically, in terms of evaluation and everything else. And as a high school coach of mine used to say, and it's a fun turn of phrase, you know, he's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. You know, I'm not going to pretend like I have a good read on anything in that direction. I feel like he has a couple more years left on his contract. So, I can't speak to that. Let's talk about the end of the game though. Cause that touchdown that you talked about where he went for two, there was 5 minutes left in the game still. Okay. So Cal Poly goes for two with 5 minutes left in the game, thinking that, you know, they want to put some pressure on Eastern. They have a home game. Let's look at the record this year. Cal Poly in an earlier overtime game had gotten pretty wiped out by Montana State pretty quickly. It was like a one possession each team situation. Montana State scored in like a couple plays, and Cal Poly, I think, went backwards in their overtime situation. So Tim's probably feeling like, I mean, if I'm him, I'm saying, okay, you know, we feel like we've kind of been fortunate to be in this situation against Eastern anyway, to try to continue to extend the game, you know, beyond regulation is probably, you know, getting to the point where the better team, if it's Eastern, might have the advantage. In this case, you're at home, you're ready to win it in front of a homecoming crowd, a comeback game. Let's get a little bit swashbuckly. And for Cal Poly, when you talked about it, Kenny, if you can't get 2 or 3 yards in that triple option one way or another, then maybe you don't deserve to win. And I think, you know, with the offense they have and with everything that they've gone through this year, you know, I think everybody probably would have liked to have seen a more varied kind of option maybe, or some kind of other play. That said, I don't know if it was the wrong call. I think it was probably a fun call. And if it's a 50-50 coin toss, I think before the game against Eastern Washington, you take a 50-50 shot at beating those guys if that's what that is. Now, you can talk about the play up the middle all you want. You can talk about those parts all you want. But to me, the call to go for two, you know, made some sense in the context of where they've been this season, where they were at in this game, kind of, like you said, getting behind early and then kind of feeling fortunate to be back in it. And there's still 5 minutes left. And in the final 5 minutes, Kenny, Cal Poly did get a 3-and-out from Eastern Washington, and they did drive the ball all the way down to the Eastern Washington 18, where their freshman field goal kicker had a shot at it with about a minute left to make a field goal to win the game. So when you look at, you know, they still had another opportunity to win the game. So that play call, I don't think, lost them the game. Clearly it didn't. They had another opportunity to win the game. And if it works, then you're a genius. So I don't know. I don't think it's that bad of a call to me.
I wasn't saying it necessarily was a bad call. I was just raising the like hypothetical. I actually am kind of like of the mindset of like, I don't necessarily mind the call. I'm always just more of like, you know, one play at the end of a game is not going to, like, it's all four quarters, you know? Like, they had things that didn't happen earlier in the game, like when they went down 14-0 and did not really have anything going off offensively.
Right.
They didn't have anything going in the beginning of the game, the whole first quarter. So it's like, what difference does it make if they're going for two or going for one in the fourth quarter, because they were already down 14-0 when they decided to start playing, you know?
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. I feel
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay, Kenny?
Yeah. I moved to a different, I don't know what happened there. Okay. It just like literally just cut out. I'm having a lot of problems with my phone, but that's just a whole other conversation for my other podcast.
Can I ask you about your phone's job security?
No, my phone's job security is in danger.
Yeah, mine. I've had mine over 2 years. My wife's got stolen this summer, and so she got the new phone on the plan or whatever. So so I have my phone, and its job security is tenuous at best, but I'm trying to hold on.
I have a three-year-old phone. So
that a baby? Nice.
Three and a half year old phone. So my wife's is like 4.5 year old. This is quality content.
All right. So Pauly loses. They've lost, I think, six straight games going in here. I wanted to just talk about what do you do? You're a guy who does a lot of gig work, I guess I would call it. You do work in terms of like, hey, be there on this day and do this thing. Do you have secrets for not being sick, or are you just a pretty healthy guy, or do you sometimes? I mean, I'm just curious because I don't think I've ever missed this volume of things that I've lined up for myself as I did this past week. I mean, it was senior day, Kenny. I missed pictures of seniors on the field.
I know. It was alumni weekend. Homecoming. There was so much going on.
Pub crawl I was going to go take pictures of and drink beer at. It was going to be great.
I don't know if you want to go down this rabbit hole with me, but I don't really get sick that often. I do get sick, but I also feel like a lot of being sick sometimes is in your head. And I'm kind of crazy. So like if I have like a lot of people will like be sneezing a lot and like have a runny nose and they'll be like, oh, I need to just stay at home and like not do anything.
Right.
Whereas like I'm like the opposite. I'm like, no, I need to get up and move around and do stuff, and then because I'll usually feel better
right
by the end of the day. I also like, you know, I can't really afford to take too many days off, so I just
that's
usually,
what I'm saying. Right,
like I've gone to work with like full-blown food poisoning.
That a boy. That's awesome. And
is I don't know, it's kind
of
crazy.
I respect people who have that kind of a attitude or outlook about it. My father, you know, by the time he finished his state job and retired, had, you know, so many hundreds or thousands of like sick hours that he had just kind of accumulated over 25 years or something. And certainly that's the standard that I have as well, which is why this was kind of so debilitating, because I was out shooting on Thursday night, you know, with kind of a what I thought was just kind of a little cold. You know, I was out on a golf course taking pictures at a golf tournament, and then Friday morning rolled around and Saturday morning rolled around, and it was less like I had a cold and more like my whole body just ached, and it was,
that's,
you know,
the flu,
I was
my friend.
Well, yeah, they swabbed me and told me it was influenza, what, type B or something like that. It was like not fun. That said, so
speaking of not fun, let's talk about this game coming up this weekend.
Hey, it is fun though. This game's going to be fun. And I have a few kind of takes about why, but I'm interested in your take. Northern Colorado has been the last game in a few different seasons for Cal Poly, for whatever reason, the way the schedule kind of runs itself through. There was a season in like 2012, I think, when like Kenny Johnston got to play some at quarterback. It was kind of a random kind of game where they blew out the Bears out in Greeley in Northern Colorado. There was also a game a couple of years ago where it was a game Cal Poly probably could have or should have come out on top, and it was a year that Northern Colorado was a little bit better, and Cal Poly had kind of thrown in the towel, I guess, by the end of the year. They got smoked out there the last time these two played each other. And so Cal Poly's going out there now with two wins on the season, trying to get their third win. It's the last game of the year.
Same with Northern Colorado, only has two wins. So somebody is going to get a third win out of this game on Saturday.
Unless they tie.
Well, let's not wish that on anyone, okay? I don't want to wish that on anyone. No, I didn't want to say this is not going to be fun. Of course it's going to be fun. We don't want to, like, this is the last game of the year, so this is, like, all the hard work that all these, you know, student athletes have put in over the past couple months. This for, you know, the seniors, this is their last game, and, you know, this, of course, is going to be fun. I just don't know. Just on paper, we're talking about Northern Colorado has the worst defense in the Big Sky.
Right.
Not that we have, like, we're defensive stalwarts, but they're worse than us. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, we've talked about on this podcast a lot about how the triple option is all predicated on how well we can move the ball and how well we can set the tempo. And it seems like this might be an opportunity this weekend, since it's a defense of Northern Colorado. It, quite frankly, has just been lit up all season. Like, you can look at all their scores for all their games this year, and they've played well. I mean, obviously, sure. Offensively, they're not like, they're not being shut out of games. Their quarterback is a sixth year senior. I always love that. I think it's like the guy petitioned the NCAA to get an extra year of eligibility. So, like, he's been playing football in college for 6 years. That is always kind of like hilarious to me.
Right.
Like, he's 20, in theory, like, could potentially be 24, 25 years old, where there could be somebody on the team who's like just 17 or 18, which that just seems like fun to me. Anyway.
Yeah.
He's like a legitimately, like, you know, he's a capable quarterback. They beat both Idaho teams, which is not saying much with Idaho, but Idaho State actually has some quality wins this year. So, like, they're not necessarily a bad team. I just think, like us,
right,
they're defensively, they have a ton of holes. And I do think this obviously could be a chance for us to get a victory, to go out on with a victory this year.
Totally.
And it's just all going to come down to the same things we always talk about. They have to come out and show up from, you know, the first snap. They can't just, you know, get behind and then play from behind the whole rest of the game.
In what was the Lost podcast last week,
one of my
keys to victory was variation in who's getting touches in the offense. Do you remember when I said that?
And they did last week.
And right, this is what I'm saying, Kenny. So they, not that they listened to me, because I never posted it. Nobody, and not that they should listen to me anyway. But Drew Hernandez had 9 rushes for 115 yards after, I think, not touching the ball the game before. Zui Trans-Sampson, Jalen Hamler combined for 46 rushes, which has been maybe the case in the past. and 3 touchdowns. But you had Dusty Frampton with 13 carries, and even Xavier Moore and Lepe Lataimua had 4 carries apiece for over 15 yards each. And what I'm telling you is, those little rushes from those guys, those little 4 to 8 yard rushes that those guys can break off, just gives the defense a different look, a different thing to think about. And when the triple option is running like it should be, you see different guys getting different amounts of carries, even if it's 4 apiece for 6 different guys, which is what it was last week. 6 guys had at least 4 carries, and each of those guys, you know, 4 guys had 40 yards at least. Dusty Frampton's kind of emergence was nice to take a little bit of pressure off Zui Trans-Sampson. You saw some rushes that were, instead of in the A-gap, kind of a little bit more, at least looking like they were kind of a little bit more off tackle, up the middle and on a little bit different angle, which was kind of nice to see. So I see things out of this offense that I really like. J.J. Koski obviously had 4 catches, 3 of them for touchdowns. The guy can't be stopped. He's going to play in the Hula Bowl this year too, I think. So
He's playing at the Rose Bowl in some senior bowl.
Maybe
thing.
That's he's playing like 2 or 3 of them. And he should be, and he's deserving, and he will be in the NFL. At least get a chance to be on an NFL roster next year.
Bold statements, baby.
I mean, Tim Walsh has been telling me that since, you know, early in the season, that, you know, he's thinking he's a middle round draft pick at least, if not better.
I could see him playing in the CFL no problem, as somebody who's watched a lot of CFL football this year. It's not a joke. I actually think that Big Sky actually is a pretty decent feeder into
I think he's going to have bigger opportunities in the CFL. I know you don't watch the NFL. I know that's a personal thing for you.
I know. We'll go into a whole other podcast. But yeah. I'm saying, as somebody who's watched a lot of CFL, I do think his game would translate. But I do think I could see him as like a – watch this next sentence. I could see him as like a slot receiver in the NFL.
There you go.
You see that?
Boom.
I kind of feel like I know what a slot receiver is, but that's not the thing that I'm going to explain this week.
And he was no Cooper Kupp in college, because Cooper Kupp at Eastern Washington was amazing. And every time Eastern comes, I think of Cooper Kupp and getting to take a couple pictures of him just running routes, just fearlessly. But mm-hmm. Koski can run routes, and Koski can be, you know, he can be a good player later on. So anyway, what I'm saying is my whole point was that Cal Poly, if they continue to move things around, move the ball around, not just make it be like a two-guy show, but a three, four, five, six guys, you know, who can all carry the ball when they're in there, it makes the defense have to account for those guys. Even if you only get 2-3-4 yards with those guys, it's the same 2-3-4 yards you would have got with Zui, except now they can't just key on Zui every time. So look for that to be an interesting kind of subplot again. See if they can get two straight games where they're spreading the ball around a little bit more to those running backs, and trying to get some, I guess, kind of running back momentum going into the spring and next season as well, as they're kind of looking to give guys shots. I also think other guys will get opportunities for carries and so forth, maybe that they haven't been getting.
As they should.
Getting a look.
Spread the love.
So Kenny, I actually have one that you'll like if you don't have one. I
want
to start with a Boo Boo Records.
I have one
album of the week, and it's
if you want to go too or go. Ahead.
I'll let you go first. Go ahead.
Mine's very quick. I just want to highlight this new up and coming artist out of LA. Let me make sure I'm reading his name right here. I believe it's pronounced Beck. And
awesome.
See, any good comic laughs at his own jokes.
That was me laughing, by the way.
Yeah, I laughed at my own joke. I laughed too. I made myself laugh. So Beck is in the process. I believe his album is supposed to be coming out, I believe, by the end of the year. He's released a couple singles off of it, but I wanted to highlight a song. It's called Uneventful Days. I've been listening, for some reason, I just got a bug up my butt, and I've been listening to the Beck channel on Spotify. And the man, despite being a Scientologist, has...
Is he really? Put out,
yes, he really is. But anyway, we don't have to go into that. Otherwise, I'll get someone from the church will come and hunt me down. But he has a massive library of like really, really good music. And through the years, I feel like it's very difficult for, like, if you think of artists from when he started, which was like mid 90s, and for someone to last almost just 25 years from that same time frame in terms of like alternative music, there aren't really that many, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And he's consistently kept his sound fresh and interesting, and so he's got a new track. It's called Uneventful Days. It's got a really great video featuring Evan Rachel Wood and Tessa Thompson, Tessa Thompson is very high on my list of people who I just think are extremely attractive, side note, but it's just a really good song, and I just want to give, you know, this underappreciated artist named Beck.
I mean, honestly, I mentioned a show that I watched. He's in Echo in the Canyon, which I watched. Recently.
I watched it on Friday, my friend.
Yeah, and then
it's a great
also
doc.
I have a Beck story because it's one of the few concerts I've ever gone to by myself. So you know,
yes,
a lot of the times, a lot of the times, there's not, you know, people don't go to concerts by themselves. But I kind of recommend it. I think I was 22. It was a concert at UC San Diego at RIMAC Arena.
And
randomly, I remember it because you could buy tickets. You could buy concert tickets with your, like, it was called Triton Plus money.
Love it.
On your little like card. So I didn't live on campus, but my parents would put some meal money on a card me if I wanted to eat on campus. And in this particular case, I used, you know, $50 or something to buy a concert ticket because that's the kind of guy I was, I guess.
I love it. I would have done it too.
But it was a concert that was on 420, and I don't smoke or anything, but it was that vibe, and it was in the arena, and I just remember how cool of a concert it was and how I just kind of walked around and went where I wanted and did what I, you know, was in the pit and kind of was just fun to just be there by myself this one time. I was like, you know what?
I've done it.
Go. And it was
awesome. I've totally done it. I've totally gone to a concert by myself.
It's awesome.
Look, it is. And it's like, I go to movies by myself. You know what? If you're going to go to this is the way I feel about it. If you're going to go to an event in which you're mostly looking and listening at some sort of performance happening in front of you, there shouldn't be some sort of like obligation that if you can't find someone to go with you to this thing that you shouldn't go. Like, you're not going to like sit and talk to somebody during a movie and have like a social conversation.
Right.
Yeah, unless you're like a total fucking asshole. But like, which I just jinxed it. I'm going to the movies tomorrow night. I'm sure somebody's going to talk the whole time. But anyway, I've done it. I went to a con. I've been to two concerts by myself. But that's, we'll save those stories for another time.
Yeah, yeah. Beck, awesome call. Yeah. I was also going to say because it's out newly and because it's a friend of yours. There's a comedy album out.
Dan Van Kirk's album?
Yeah, Thanks Diane
is
out.
Yes,
so
I was there.
I wanted to plug that for you.
I was there for the taping of that album. It's it's a great idea. We should definitely plug that. Daniel Van Kirk, it's available on iTunes, it's on Spotify, it's called Thanks Diane. I'm not just blowing smoke up people's asses because Dan's a good friend of mine. I know a lot of stand-ups and I've seen a lot of different stand-up shows and Netflix specials. It's just a really good show. Dan is the kind of comic that is sincere. He genuinely wants to not necessarily like do crowd work. He wants to incorporate the crowd and make it like a shared experience.
Yeah, like he's a real dude. Yeah, you can tell. It comes through when he hosts the Sklar's
Dumb People Town
podcast. He's recently on an episode of Kill Tony, which is another podcast that I listen to a lot. I absolutely would recommend Dan Van Kirk's album. I haven't downloaded it yet myself, but I will. And
it's great. It's really, really funny.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. That's the other plug.
Kenny, I love it.
Kenny, you got a chance today to sip on some Bon and Viv or some kind of hard seltzer.
I did. I've had a couple drinks today. Yeah. My employee or company, my department had like a Thanksgiving celebration.
Sure.
And there was alcohol and I went into this assuming that I was not going to be able to have anything to drink because it's usually beer and wine. But because again, just to set the record, I can't have beer and wine anymore because of a sulfite allergy and a non-celiac wheat sensitivity.
Get it right.
All right. We hit it. But so I can have hard seltzers, and they had hard seltzers there. They did not have Bon and Viv, but they did have, they had White Claw, which I think is kind of like, in my opinion, is like the Bud Light of hard seltzers. But they did have this brand called Truly, which is to me is not quite Bon and Viv, but it's a step above a White Claw. And they had a mango, and get this, they had a passion fruit.
What?
That was great. So I'm going to make that my pick of the week. The unofficial Bon and Viv hard seltzer pick of the week is the Truly hard seltzer passion fruit. All right. So when you're watching the game this week, you crack open at a 12 o'clock. We got a 12 o'clock kickoff. So you better be ready to go.
Noontime.
Okay, everybody. All you tailgaters, you better be ready to go at noon.
Let's go. And
all right, let's go.
And you know what? Like if you're in that Colorado area and you're listening to this, like go to the game. Greeley is a great place to watch a game. It's going to be a little cool, but it's football weather. Why not? Like go to the parking lot, hang out. I'm sure the Northern Colorado fans are great. Have a Bon and Viv. Do your thing. It's Saturday.
Do your thing.
We actually canceled all of our weekend trip plans because everybody in my family has the bubonic plague, apparently.
My
3-year-old said, I cough every time. That was how he described it. I cough every time. And that's how I'm feeling too, more or less. But I wanted to kind of wrap up with some final thoughts here. Like you said, Northern Colorado's dead last in offense. Cal Poly's 11th. So we're going to see how this kind of goes. Our 11th in defense. This is going to be a fun game. Cal Poly's going to have opportunities. I look for the Mustangs. They usually win these kinds of games where they're like against teams that they really should beat. Like Southern Utah was another one of those this year. So I would see this game going kind of like the Southern Utah game, maybe even a little bit better. I feel like they found some offensive rhythm last week, and I feel like there's guys who are playing their last college game who don't want to go out on a sour note. So 6 straight losses, but I think they're going to finish this season on the winning note here.
I love it.
With a win this week. Kenny, do we have some last game predictions from any people that we might
well, Michael Caine wasn't able to get his picks up last week. So I feel like Michael Caine has picks for this week.
Yeah, he has picks to spare for sure. So
can I do my quick? I'll do my prediction for the game.
Yeah.
And while I'm doing that, I'm going to explain something with football as well.
Sorry, yeah, I forgot that.
No, it's okay because it's a real quick one. Because I read that Northern Colorado runs a spread offense, and I'm like, you know what?
A lot of teams
seem to run. I hear a lot about this spread offense, which is basically just you put your quarterback in a shotgun, and then put all the wideouts out, and it forces the defense to spread. Ooh. So a lot of people think that it's called spread because you're spreading a bunch of offensive players out on the field, but it's because the quarterback is not under center.
Right.
And because you've got it's a combination of both. It's the defense that actually has to spread to actually make sure that everyone is covered. Isn't that fun? So that's what on paper that runs counter to things that our defense should have a hard time with. But I do kind of agree. So there, I do feel like this is going to be a tough game for the Mustangs, but I do agree with you. I do think they actually will pull this out. I think because Northern Colorado's defense, especially their rushing defense is so poor,
right,
that we will pull it out this week.
Nice. And we're excited to kind of see how this season kind of winds up. I had picked Cal Poly, I think, to win maybe five games before the season. I thought like 5-6 was a good number, and we've seen, you know, two games that could have gone to overtime against Montana State and Eastern. We saw a game at Idaho that, you know, went the wrong way that you might have thought, oh man, that was another one. There were probably like maybe five games that you thought were more of a coin flip than they were so far, and Cal Poly's basically come out on the wrong end of each of those games. So
it's really been the Davis and the Oregon State game were really the only games where we just were completely,
and even the
not
Davis
ahead.
Game, there was that like 14 point play, right? Because Cal Poly was going in to score a touchdown, and then Davis's defense scored a touchdown. So even that game, I talked to people who were there, and they say, you know what, I think if that play doesn't happen, Cal Poly actually wins that game. There's people.
It's possible. It's possible. I think we should do one more show.
Wrap it up.
A season recap.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Give one more Bon and Viv, one more Boo Boo pick of the week.
I love it. I agree. Absolutely. That'll happen. So,
all right.
So we'll definitely get there. Kenny explained the spread offense really nicely. Incidentally, also, the spread offense for people who are bitter about, Cal Poly's triple option. Might be an interesting thing to take a look at and think about effectiveness when it comes to that and kind of look at these two offenses up against each other.
I mean, I'll give a hot take right now. I think that Hamler can run a spread offense, but that's just me.
I think Jalen could run any offense for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So
we'll talk about it next week after a Mustang victory.
Let's go. Kenny Stevenson, thank you for your time and energy. And
always.
We'll catch you next week, but stay tuned for the Michael Caine picks of the week.
Hello. My name is Michael Caine, and I'm here today to tell you what are my picks for this weekend's Big Sky football games. And when I say football, I of course am talking about American football, you know, the football in which there are only two people on either team who actually put their foot to the ball. That's what you guys call football. See, in the UK, football is a sport where there are 11 people and they all use their feet and only one of them can use their hands. Never forget. All right. The big game of the week is, of course, Montana versus Montana State. The Grizz versus the Bobcats. The battle for the state of Montana. Now, I don't know who I would actually take in this game. However, I do know that if I were to pit a grizzly versus a bobcat, no one would win. Therefore, I'm going to say that this game is going to be a tie. Coming up next, we have Southern Utah versus the University of North Dakota. Now, I've only been to the northern part of Utah. Don't ask me why, but let's say it involved a very long and very, 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 very intense spa treatment, but I've only been to the northern part. I've not been to the southern part. And of course, I've never actually been to North Dakota. So I'm going to say that for the sake of argument, Southern Utah wins that game. I don't know what the argument was that I'm shooting for, but just shut your mouth. You shut your mouth, or I will come over there and I will shut it for you. I may be in my late 80s, but I am spry and I am willing to fight people. All right, now we've got Portland State versus Eastern Washington. The city of Portland is a lovely place with a wonderful little bookstore that I've been to, and I've spent many an hour sitting in the bookstore reading books. So for that entire reason, I'm going to take Eastern Washington. Now, we have Idaho versus Northern Arizona, a lot of directional schools in the big sky, but for this sake, Northern Arizona. All right, because they are lumberjacks. And if there are certain people that are misunderstood in this world, it is the lumberjacks. They work so hard taking away precious trees that we need. And it's a thankless job. It's a thankless job, but they do it. Northern Arizona. Idaho State versus Weber State. I don't know what a Weber is, or particularly what state the Weber is in. Is it happy? Is it sad? Is it in Utah? I don't know. Therefore, I cannot, in good conscience, take Weber State. I'm taking Idaho. Idaho State. And finally, we have the University of Northern Colorado Bears versus the Cal Poly Mustangs. Now, Michael Caine has ridden many a horse, and I don't mean whores like a woman of the night. I mean a horse like a Mustang. And Michael Caine has ridden many a horse, and if there's one thing that Michael Caine knows, it's that Michael Caine looks fucking spectacular on a horse. Therefore, I must select Cal Poly Mustangs to win.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. Signs out on